News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, the morning after the primary elections yesterday. Pretty interesting, as Dalton has compiled numbers you would not believe, county to county. And
all of them.
Interesting, though. It really is. 7 after 8 o'clock, Dan and Dalton. And if you want to text, you certainly can, 251-343-0106. And that's also, if you want to give us a call, same number. So it's Dobson against Shamari Figures in the newly drawn District 2. You were talking about all those numbers, Dalton. I had one, too. This is not about the race numbers from yesterday. You've compiled that to take a look, and it's pretty overwhelming how much Caroline Dobson won county by county by county, aside from Montgomery County, which, of course, is Brubaker's home.
She technically won more counties than Figures did over Daniels.
Wow.
Yeah, Daniels, Daniels picked up more counties than Brubaker did.
Interesting. It was just a month ago, month and a half ago, that Dick Brubaker had 22,558 votes, and Dobson edged out Allbritton to get into the race, right? So she edges out Allbritton, 15,075 votes. Allbritton, 14,434 votes, so less than 100 votes. She sneaks in. When she sneaks in, then we're all kind of thinking, well, she's still got a lot of ground to make up.
A mountain to climb.
She made it. And then some. So, and I believe this is all with Allbritton. I believe he endorsed Brubaker.
Yeah, so he did. And so did several other candidates. Harrison, what was his name?
Anyway, oh, yeah.
I'm sure that played a major role in this.
Well, yeah.
The Allbritton endorsement had to have carried some weight.
But it did.
Sure. But it ended up not.
You were thinking, that, well, that's a big one. I think the coalition of South Mobile or South Alabama folks, Mobile elected officials and everything, that might have made a difference. But I think it was just her. She made the difference.
At risk of stealing words from Jeff, well, I am going to steal words from Jeff Poor, who will be on with us at the end of this hour. But I want to read you his tweet because it was spot on. Jeff last night tweeted, Dobson did everything but wear an Azalea Trail Maid dress to be the Mobile candidate, and it paid off.
Yep.
And that's well said, because I know a lot of folks are saying, well, she's not from Mobile. Yeah, technically. No, yeah, you're right. She's not from Mobile. But Monroe County, and as someone who grew up in Grove Hill and worked in Monroeville quite a bit, Mobile is about as, a lot of people come to Mobile for when they actually need something. And maybe things are changing with Amazon. I'm sure things have changed with online.
Yeah.
But anytime
you go to the movies or whatever, you come to Mobile.
Yeah, if we wanted to go to the movies, we'd come to Mobile. If we wanted to buy, in my case, a video game or some big thing to play with outside, come to Mobile. It's just what you do. And imagine a lot of folks in Monroe County are the same way. And she said it in plenty of her interviews, as Mobile goes, that's how the counties around Mobile go, and including Monroe. So they're invested in Mobile performing well economically because rising tide lifts all boats. And you didn't get that kind of insight, as limited as it may be compared to someone who might be from Mobile. You didn't get that kind of insight from Dick Brubaker. And while he kind of knew, he seemed to know what he was talking about, he didn't put in the groundwork.
Right.
And you could really see the shift. So I didn't.
He just felt like a Montgomery guy.
He did. And going into the March election, the March primaries, I know there were people fired up to go vote for Allbritton, but it wasn't something like, yeah, I can't wait to get out there and vote for Allbritton. And same thing, obviously, for Brubaker. And there were a few in March who were like, I'm really, really liking what Caroline Dobson is saying.
Yeah.
And they get her into the runoff. And then she goes on to win every county yesterday but two. The only two counties she did not pick up were Montgomery County and Barber County. And in Barber County, Brubaker got 51% of the vote. So he had 346 votes there and 328 votes for Dobson. In Montgomery, he carried it pretty heavily. Two-thirds of the vote went Brubaker's way. which you would expect. He is the Montgomery guy. And the story also of last night was turnout.
Yeah.
Because forget what the numbers were statewide in the March primaries. I want to say somewhere between 15 and 18% statewide. And now a lot of these counties only had like Board of Education runoffs, but it was a 7.5% turnout statewide. You look county by county, other than Russell County, Mobile County had the smallest turnout of all of the District 2 voting. 9% turnout in Mobile County. Dobson got 69% of the vote to Brubaker's 31%. Now, figures dominated in Mobile. 92% of the vote went figures' way in Mobile County. There were more Democrat votes in AL2 yesterday than there were Republican votes, and by a pretty big margin, because you look at the March primary, and it was right around 57,000 votes on each side of the aisle. Total votes for the Democrats last night, you had, let's see, about 36,000 votes after 57,000 voted in the Democrat primary in March. For the Republicans, it was much less, right around 25,000 votes yesterday in that Republican primary compared to the 57,000 that you had in March. And so I'm sure some folks are saying, look, the Democrats did turn out. And that if it if we're projecting into the future, into the November general elections, that must give Democrats the upper hand, right? Well, I don't really know if you can take much from that, because come November, it's people aren't just going to show up to vote for that race. You're going to have the presidential race on the ballot, mm-hmm. which who knows what that's going to mean for people coming out to vote for or against Donald Trump.
We knew what it meant in 2020.
Yeah.
And it meant slammed. Places were slammed.
Completely packed.
Yep.
So I don't know if you could take much from the turnout yesterday. I think you can take a lot from the turnout in District 2 in that March primary where it was pretty even, but that'll be a big discussion point going forward. You look at the rest of these counties, if you don't mind if I run through these real quick.
Sure.
Mobile County, Dobson, 69%. Washington County, which had 15% turnout, Dobson won 73% to Brubaker's 27%. Figures cleaned up there, too. He got 89% of the Democrat vote. Clark County had 14% turnout. Again, Dobson with 73% of the Republican vote.
Hmm.
Figures got 59% of the vote in Clark County. Her home county of Monroe County, Dobson, of course, dominated. And they had 18.5% turnout. A couple other races were on the ballot in Monroe.
Yeah.
But yeah, because of her, she got 87% of the vote in Monroe County. I'd like to talk to the 230 people that voted for Brubaker in Monroe County.
Yeah. You know, they have a beef with Dobson's family or something.
What was the reasoning?
Yeah.
I'm just interested.
Yeah, probably.
Figures 62% in Monroe County. Kanaka County also had a relatively high turnout, 18%, with Dobson getting 76% of the vote there.
Wow.
And on the Democrat side, figures got 70% of the vote. Butler County, Dobson, again, 73% of the vote. Figures got 61% there. And then as we move east, Dobson kept dominating. And then you start to see Daniels' numbers pick up in the Democrat side. So in Crenshaw County, Dobson got, again, 73% of the vote. Daniels won Crenshaw County on the Democrat side with 62% of the vote. Pike County, just south of Montgomery County, Dobson beat Brubaker, 62% of the vote in Pike County. And we heard her say she was going to, you know, several events over there near Troy.
I made the drive one time from Montgomery. I did a football game, and then I had an event with Joseph coming up to Troy for something that he was going to do. So I just went from one to the other, and it was a quick drive. A
little skip and a hop.
Yeah, what's not far from Montgomery?
When I went to Troy, we made several trips to Montgomery. Figures won Montgomery County, but that was a close one, 52% to Daniel's 48%. Look at Bullitt County. Dobson got 69% of the vote there. I mean, this was domination yesterday. And Daniels, 93% of the vote in Bullitt County. 93% went towards the loser. Barber County, which had 10% turnout, not great. That's another one that Brubaker won. But it was 51% of the vote to Dobson's 49%. Very few Republicans turned out in Barber County. I don't know how many there are anyway. But Brubaker got 346 votes to Dobson's 328 there. Daniels won Barber County, 64% of the vote going his way. In Russell County, Dobson, again, 73% of the vote. Now, only 5% turnout in Russell County, which is extremely low. But still,
that's the east side of the
district,
far over there,
east side of the district. But still, 73%. She won several counties by exactly 73%. Daniels won Russell County as well, 54%. And then Macon County, Dobson, 51% of the vote. But that was the lowest Republican turnout, was Macon County. She won basically 78 votes to 75 votes for Brubaker.
Brubaker was on Jeff Poy's, been on a lot. So a lot of you would know him, know his politics. He's well known in Montgomery, obviously. We didn't know Dobson in October of this past year. We didn't even know her yet. And she was able to make that kind of an impression. A couple of things, Dalton, that she didn't need to campaign. You know, you only have so much time, right? And so many miles on the car where you got to be. I don't think she had to worry about Montgomery at all. She wasn't going to win Montgomery. So I'm sure she campaigned there, but she didn't have to put the time in there. What she did, what I think Caroline Dobson was available, right? She was available to be on the radio. She was available to be down here for whatever event. She was at the boat show. She was at the Senior Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was available. And then not only was she available, she spoke eloquently and intelligently about Mobile. She never flubbed any kind of discussion point about the city of Mobile. She made Mobilians feel like, that's our girl right mm-hmm. there. Agree?
Yeah, of the two, for sure.
Yeah.
And I will slightly disagree with you on her and whether she needed to put the groundwork in Montgomery, because overall, even though we went county by county, this was a popular vote District 2.
Right, I'm sure she...
And Montgomery and Mobile are the two biggins.
Yeah.
So she worked harder in Montgomery than Brubaker worked in Mobile.
Not even a discussion. Not even worth a discussion.
She worked harder in Montgomery than he did in Mobile.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people saw that as well. Okay, if we're just nominating someone to run in the general, and I said it yesterday, who's going to give you the best chance to win in the general election?
And I think we both agree candidates? It's her. Because she's the ascending star. And she's the one that's putting all the work in. That's what's going to have to happen in the fall.
It didn't seem like he was on the grind
right.
like she was. And also, he seemed a bit pretentious to me. And some of his conversations, like he was almost like patting her on the head. Now, get out of here with that negative campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
And even yesterday, the vibe I was getting from Brubaker when he was being interviewed by Jeff was that, we got nothing to worry about. This is just whether it's Albritton or Dobson. Either way, it was going to be a little tougher, but we don't have anything to worry about. I wonder if that also didn't inhibit his turnout.
Yeah, rub people the wrong way.
Rub people the wrong way, or even get his supporters who would have voted for him to say, we don't need to go out there. Yeah, he's going to win this.
It's thing. In the bag.
Yeah.
Again, a month and a half ago, Brubaker, 22,558 votes. Dobson sneaks into yesterday's election with less than 100 votes more than Greg Albritton. And Greg Albritton is a pretty popular guy in office, obviously, and somebody who people know, and he is a powerful guy. And he puts his weight behind Dick Brubaker, and she offset all of that by being available and by being consistent with her message.
Do you have her total vote from March right there as well? You've got the...
Yeah, 15,075.
Okay. So Brubaker technically lost about 55% of the voters who came out to vote for him in March, either didn't show up to the polls or did not vote for him in that race yesterday, because he had 10,500 votes.
Gosh.
And Dobson only lost about 1,000 of the votes that she got in that March runoff, of course, with much fewer people turning out. So that's interesting that, what'd you say, 20, how many thousand for Brubaker in March?
Yeah, 22,558.
So 12,000 people that voted for Brubaker in March did not vote for Brubaker yesterday.
Yeah, either didn't come out or went with Dobson.
Yeah.
And on the text line, what was it? Brubaker says it was negative campaigning. I know that was part of the menu of how you get elected, you know, the spots that are a little slanted one way or the other where they don't tell the whole truth and they make him look like he's anti-Trump and blah, blah. Okay, that happened. But is that what you think really was the reason that Dobson was able to pull out the win? I don't necessarily, but what do you think on the text line? Why did Dobson win so decisively? Let us know what you think.
It's a great question. All right, the text's rolling in. We'll get to them on our way back on Mobile Mornings right here on FM Talk 106.5.
What is going on? Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. The old text line beginning to hum here a little bit about the Dobson win over Brubaker. This is Ed. He says, Dalton, I'll tell you, Dobson won over Brubaker in the campaign. Let's see. Brubaker's campaign did not respond to voters, he says. I asked for a yard sign on the website and offered to help in Mobile. All caps, no one called me back.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. And he said, I voted for Dobson. So here's a guy that was going to not just vote for Brubaker. He was going to get
the sign out,
and he was also going to support in any other way he could. And they don't respond to him, and he's like, the heck with that.
And also, and maybe this had a minimal impact, but when the Brubaker signs started showing up in Mobile late, and they had the City of Mobile logo on there, and people started saying, wait, does this mean the city endorsed Brubaker? And the city came out immediately, and I think the first report was on our show.
Yeah.
The city said, no, we did not endorse Brubaker, and he's not supposed to have the city's logo on his signs. Those stayed out there all the way, those signs. And I think people who were following the story went.
That was like a reminder.
Like he was thumbing his nose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, yep.
Todd says, good morning, guys. I voted for Caroline both times because of what she had to say. Didn't even know she was running negative ads. I'm so glad she won. She deserves it. And besides, Brubaker has an appropriate first name. Hey, Todd, come on. Text Dreer says, Caroline Dobson is likable and smart. That's JC with that text.
Yeah, I agree.
Fish River Frank, yes, 100% negative ads affect the vote. Not everybody is smart as Dan and realizes the ads are always half-truths. Even after decades of those negative campaigns, they still work. Yeah, everyone hates them, but everyone uses them, right? Except for
Brubaker,
apparently.
Who took all his time on the air to make sure that you knew he wasn't going negative.
Mm-hmm. But he did get
just overplayed that.
Lee Greenwood endorsement. King of all unnamed.
Is that what kicked back on him? The Greenwood endorsement hurt? Did it hurt him that bad?
I think it hurts Greenwood's endorsement record. He was talking about he's only endorsed four. Was it Reagan,
W,
Bush, and Clinton? Reagan, W, and Trump, and then Brubaker.
Yeah, Brubaker's his first L.
First L. King of all unnamed textures. She has a prettier face than Brubaker. I will not argue with that. Text her here. No, she did exactly what Katie Britt did, hit the road and made herself available.
Yeah. I mean, Katie Britt was an unknown. You forget about that. I mean, in politics, insiders, they knew who she was. But we didn't know anything about her.
No, just put in the work.
Yep.
Fred says, did Trump endorse Dobson? No, he did not.
He did not.
Trump did not jump into the primary. Paul says, I voted for Brubaker in the primary and Dobson in the runoff. I would have been okay with either. Some Republicans didn't vote yesterday simply because they were fine with either candidate. That is an interesting theory there, Paul.
That is an interesting take.
I can definitely see that being the case. Leo says, two sheriff's endorsements really hurt Brubaker. Do you mean the – I think there ended up being five sheriffs that endorsed – Dobson, including
Birch.
Yeah. So, yeah, I bet that did have an effect. And Leo says, Democrats don't have jobs, so it's much easier for them to go vote. And then, of course, a lot of text about the background conversation this morning. Favorite TV series of all time.
Yes.
Because I'm fired up that Justified is apparently coming back with the old crew. With Walton Goggins and Oliphant and all of them.
And you might as well be speaking Greek to me about that show.
You haven't seen Justified?
No.
Oh, man.
Uh-uh.
You got to watch it.
Okay.
Your mom says Frasier is one of the funniest sitcoms of all time. And then a couple endorsing your Barney Miller take. Josh says Barney Miller was awesome. Marty says the theme from Barney Miller has the best bass guitar line in music history. In my opinion,
of course.
We're going to have to fire it up.
Could play that out of the break.
8:30, FM Talk 106.5, more Mobile mornings on the way. Let's take a look at Montgomery and what's going on in the legislature. There it is. Oh, Marty wasn't lying.
Yeah, jazzy, huh? Nina Barney Miller.
I like that.
We were talking about, favorite shows, and it just wasn't the first thing that came to my mind, but I remember I really liked Barney Miller way back in the late 70s. And then somebody on the text line said, great show, great theme song.
Best bass line in any, have to agree.
Yeah, a lot of jazz there.
835 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Man, we are doing great. Another beautiful day for Southwest Alabama on the way, and another beautiful day at McConnell Automotive.
That's right. McConnellAutomotive.com. Man, you can check out all these fine rides on the internet. And if you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141. I mean, we've got them from, on the used car side. We got a bunch of GM certifies. We got a bunch of trucks, two and four wheel drive, 3/4 tons and diesels. So, got some new body style Yukons on the used car side. We've got some new ones on the new car side. So we got plenty of inventory here. So, like I said, check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. I hope everybody has a great day today.
Yeah, and of course, people can also just call you and say, hey, Louie, I'm interested in this ride. Do you have that, or can you find it? And you're able to find it for them.
Oh, yeah. We got buyers all the way from, I mean, we've got them down in Orlando, Atlanta, Nashville. Just, you know, we're looking at cars every day. Mm-hmm. So, if you, like I said, if you need something, just give us a call, 251-476-4141.
Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That is Louie Arata. You'll find him and the whole crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Thank you for all the texts this morning, 251-343-0106.
Yeah, let's go through some of these and then get into what happened at City Council yesterday. Ken says some negative ads are necessary to get the truth out. Dobson really was the only option for Mobile to have a local Republican representative. Mobile would have voted for Figures over Brubaker in order to have a local rep. I tend to agree with you, Ken, and think that Mobile will probably be a battleground for these two candidates as Figures tries to convince the Republicans, hey, I'm for Mobile. If you want a true Mobile representative, you need to vote for me. And Dobson will say, hey, I care about Mobile a lot, too. But if you want a Republican,
yeah,
who cares about Mobile, you'll want to vote for me.
That's where the crux is with this. You know, who's gonna run the House? Mm-hmm. And right now, the margin's getting thinner and thinner.
We can't say that enough, and I think most people realize it at this point. There will be 5 or 6 races nationwide, 5 or 6 House races nationwide that will decide who controls the House of Representatives from 2025 through 2027, once they take office in January and have that 2-year term. It is a major, major deal. And this is just one of 5 or 6 races that it will come down to. So you can see why there might be a lot more attention on our area moving forward. Texter here, I'm with you on Barney Miller. My money is on MASH overall, though. And JC also says MASH. So the MASH fan showing up now. And Ash giving us their rankings. Cheers, Taxi, and Barney Miller. We're going old school today with some of these.
Yeah, we are.
There's some newer shows I like a lot, too. The Ranch, with Ashton Kutcher. I love that on Netflix. One of my favorite series
Netflix,
ever. Right. Yeah, and then a newer one, The Last Kingdom. I don't know if anyone out there has seen that, but that is a great series as well.
There's so many places to find your entertainment now. I mean, in the old days, it was, the networks, and but once cable, when they started coming out with their own productions, or at least independent productions that were on cable, that was a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen back then. You know, like you were talking about these shows on FX, some of these really good shows, but 20 years ago, or maybe a little bit further back, FX didn't have a big lineup of shows. It just started. The movie, what was Mad Men was on the movies.
AMC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
even during the height of Mad Men and Breaking Bad, that was like kind of the last generation where people would go to work and say, did you see that last night?
Yeah.
And everyone would talk about it. Now, there are series that I haven't heard of that are the best thing going. And just because you don't have that water cooler talk, and because so many people are split with what they're watching, there's no Sopranos. Like, mm-hmm. Maybe the last thing was Game of Thrones, where people were tuning in every Sunday night to see what would happen there.
Yeah, the appointment TV.
And then they fumbled the bag kind of late with some of the things they did in Game of Thrones, where people were like, why did I spend so much time on this? But that's happened with show after show. A couple more here, and then I want to get to the City Council. Pat says the shows we watch over and over is The Ranch, Big Bang Theory, and Friends. And then Michael says favorite, all Star Trek. So there you go. A lot of Star Trek fans out there,
too. I love the story. I forget the guy's name. He was a young player for the New York Mets, and he was alone in New York City, I guess, and he was playing for the Mets. at maybe in the minors, and then when he got to New York City, he learned English by watching Friends. That's he was like from Venezuela or somewhere far away, you know, and he had no connections on the team and he watched Friends, and that's how he learned English. And every time he goes to the bat, when he comes up, they play the theme to Friends.
Yeah. So I wonder if some of his teammates, or probably more likely the journalists he talked to, are like, why does he keep using these lines
slang
from Friends?
Yeah. All the slang from Friends.
Why does he sound like Chandler or something like that? So city council yesterday, big news we thought would be the latest on the back and forth between Chief Prine and Mayor Stimson. And they didn't really discuss that much. It looks like next week will be, they announced yesterday that the Kenyon Brown report will be coming out next Tuesday. But initially, it will only be given to the city council. And so next Tuesday, they'll have their normal pre-conference meeting at 9 a.m., but then there's going to be a big gap before their actual regular meeting. And Council President C.J. Small said that will be in order for the council to review Brown's report regarding the MPD policies and procedures and then ask any follow-up questions they may have. I'm guessing Brown will be the one answering those questions, and I'm not sure who else from the city would be available to answer those questions. They did yesterday meet after their pre-conference meeting for about an hour and a half, according to Brady Petrie at Lanyap. And Small said they were meeting to discuss, quote, potential lawsuits. And Lanyap saying that could have been related to the Prine situation. But other than that, not much discussion about what the big discussion's been. Since, I mean, this all happened after last week's city council meeting.
Yeah.
So they met,
That's the first time.
Last Tuesday. Prine was out Tuesday night talking to the media. Stimson made his rounds a little bit later in the week.
And Prine was with Sean on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We got all that audio. Mm-hmm. And then Stimson was with him on Thursday.
So this was the first meeting yesterday, and they'll be talking about it in a major way next week.
Well, you know, they may play a big role in this. City Council may play a big role in this. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I mean, they would have to oust him, right?
Yeah, they will have to be the ones to vote him out.
It would have to be a supermajority, but they would have to actually, the blood will be on their hands if Prine is fired.
And Lanyap asked if that vote will come next week, and Small said he had, quote, no earthly idea, which is a pretty good phrase for how a lot of us are feeling about what's going on right now.
Yeah, no earthly idea, except that it's all very strange, and it's all very, there is just so much unknown than there is known. And the other thing is, the stuff we do know seems strange as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be on council. So we'll see what happens.
And this is interesting. And I don't know if it was intentional or not. I should probably keep my mouth shut, according to.
Oh,
so Mayor Stimson in his nightly newsletter.
This is interesting.
He sends this out, and hat tip to Lauren in our office, who said, hey, did you see that last night? At the end of every newsletter that the mayor puts out every night, he puts almost like a devotional kind of, just some words of faith that maybe put you in a good mood or get you to think a little bit. And I love that he does that in his newsletter. And I think we'd be better off as a country if more mayors did have faith, right? And so he said in last night's, on a personal note, this is at the end of the newsletter, on a personal note, I wanted to touch briefly on the power that words can carry. One of the themes throughout the book of Proverbs is speech. At least 40 verses in Proverbs deal with speech, from avoiding slander and gossip to knowing when it's best to keep silent. What we say shows our genuine attitude towards others, and how we talk reveals much about us. Often our outward speech is a test of how wise we have become. The mayor continues in his newsletter, there's a remarkable footnote in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, that discusses the damage our words can do. Gossiping, putting others down, bragging, manipulating, false teaching, exaggerating, complaining, flattering, and lying all start with mere words. However, some words can easily wreak havoc. Before you speak, ask yourself three questions. Is what I have to say true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If the answer to all three is no, it might be wise to remain silent. Thanks. Signed, Mayor Sandy Stimson. So whether that was just happened to be that the devotion that the mayor was thinking about yesterday had to do with the power of words, or whether that was kind of intentionally put in at the time that it was, I don't know. And according to what he just said, since I don't know, I should probably stay silent on that. But I did find it very interesting that made its way into the newsletter.
I don't think it was a coincidence or a mistake or anything like that. I think that was intentional. And that's, you know, that's what we look. That's what we have to remind ourselves. Yeah, there's a lot we don't know. There's stuff we do know, but we don't understand it. Okay, and you can make certain assumptions on those. People do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we do too.
It's human.
But we don't have to. We do not have to necessarily bark about it. I'm happy to react to the facts, but there's simply not enough facts out there yet that I would feel comfortable with drawing any concrete conclusion.
Yeah, and I don't think it's wise to draw any of those conclusions until we get more information.
Yeah,
but I do think it's the city council needs to investigate the claims at the very least in a transparent way.
Please, right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it will see we'll see what Prine's legal actions are. It looks like he made a statement at the rally. There was no way he could go back to work with them. I think that's fractured. That's gone, right? Mm-hmm. So that's not going to be an option. So what are his legal options? You know, being dismissed in this way. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Good luck, council.
Also in the council yesterday, Joel Daves announced he will not seek re-election next year's municipal.
Are they related?
I don't know. I think more than anything, he's probably like, you know, this is getting a little too dramatic.
That's what I'm saying. Is the one related to the other? Could be.
Also, Daves doesn't seem to be very happy about the Amtrak situation. That's kind of what I've picked up over the last few months. So, he's been, you know, 12 years in that seat for District 5.
Amazing.
So it'll be new. We already have several new faces on the council compared to the seven that were in seats. Seven that were in seats 3 years ago. A lot of new faces, and you'll just add another one next year. And then there's this. Brendan Kirby with Fox 10 said, next week the city council will consider a land swap with the state in order to facilitate the planned I-10 bridge project. And Councilman Ben Reynolds had questions about that yesterday. So what they're doing here basically sounds like something out of the ABC playbook or the Alabama legislature playbook.
Yeah.
That the city will sell the state a certain amount of land. It would be a hundredth of an acre. ALDOT says they need that land for one of the foundations that will hold up the bridge. But the city also needs access to it because that's where the cruise ship ties up. And so what the state will do, or what the city is going to have to do, is sell that 100th of an acre to the state. And City Attorney Ricardo Wood said that that's in order to get federal funding for the bridge because the state must have full control of the property. And then after the city sells that 100th of an acre to the state, they will lease back the portion for the cruise terminal at $1 a year for 10 years. And then after that, they'll lease it at market rate, whatever that would be.
Mm-hmm.
Reynolds is saying, well, why are we going to give away the land only to lease it back? And they're saying it's because in order to get that one foundation to hold up the bridge, that the state, in order to get federal funding, will have to have control of it. And Reynolds said, it's very arduous at times to deal with the federal government and the state government. Frankly, it gets so far down in the weeds that I don't understand it all, but I will try to understand what this land swap essentially means and the implications of it for our city going forward. So next time you ask yourself, hey, why is it taking them so long to get this thing going and get this thing started? This is just one little domino in hundreds of thousands of dominoes where the bureaucratic hoops you have to jump through just make everything ridiculous.
Seems crazy, right?
Yeah.
And of course, the talk last week that the whole thing might get scuttled. You're like, well, what's going on, ALDOT and the bridge? What's going on now? We're not even sure we can do it at all.
Don't even maybe have enough money to do this?
It's 8:50. You're going to talk with Jeff Poore straight ahead. Exciting news at Mobile International Airport. Now flying nonstop to Orlando from Mobile. And just minutes from downtown. Nice, new, nonstop. Just over an hour away from touchdown to all those theme parks and all hotels and all the fun in Orlando. So when you think about driving to Orlando, 7 hours or so, that's before you deal with traffic. You can fly on the seriously nice Airbus A220 made here in Mobile. Start your vacation the moment you take off with Breeze Airways. Book your nonstop route to the magic at flybreeze.com. Flying to Orlando has never been easier or nicer. By the way, too, no need to drive to Pensacola or Biloxi. That's another hour, hour and a half that you're involved in the trip. No, it's Eastern Shore or Mobile. Just fly out of Mobile, the downtown airport. Book your nonstop flight today at flybreeze.com because flying nonstop to Orlando from Mobile International Airport is not just easy, it's a breeze. That's FLYBREEZE.com.
AL2 Republican primary winner Caroline Dobson will be on with Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile today at 12:30. Also, a quick run through the texts. We're talking about our favorite TV series this morning. David and Fairhope mentioned the show Shameless, which was on Showtime.
Yeah, that was good.
I watched quite a bit of that. I think I stopped after a couple seasons. His texter, watching Shogun on Hulu. It's awesome. Yeah, I had the Shogun book. Actually, I have it. It's one of those that I've started about five times, and it is a very, very long book. So I'm going to have to watch the series, and I'll feel much better about knowing the story.
Watch the series and just tell everybody you read the book.
Tell everyone I read it.
I do that all the time.
Backstrap says, I'm sorry, no Republican will be voting for a Democrat in November. Straight Republican down the line. We can't afford the Dems being in control of anything in D.C. Can't make it another 4 years with the Dems at the helm. America, as we know it, will be gone. And that'll be a conversation being had in a lot of kitchens in our area, is if you're a Republican, will you vote for figures with him being the quote-unquote Mobile candidate? And Dink already jumping into the race for City Council District 5, which Joel Dave said he is stepping out. Dink said, vote Dink, District 5.
All right.
All right, Dink. We'll get those yard signs.
We need to know
going.
More about him, what his policies are going to be.
I know enough about Dink. I'll vote for him.
All right. Jeff Poor Show, and he's on the way, and he's with us right now. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So results from last night. You're in Montgomery, so you're going to talk with a lot of the legislature and everything they have going on. But your thoughts on the results from last night, the upset by Dobson, and then figures winning as expected?
I mean, it was a mild upset. I was surprised by kind of the totals. It's just Brubaker's voters didn't show up last night. But I tell you what, the thing that did surprise me was just how much better or how much more significant the Democrat turnout was than the Republican turnout in last night. I think that's a problem for Republicans.
You do, because I was thinking this is going to be a totally different situation in November with Trump on the ballot.
Yeah, but you can't take it for granted. I if it were close, I would be like, yeah, Trump's on the ballot. Everything's going to be okay. Don't worry too much about it. But, I mean, that was a significant amount of turnout, more than the Republicans in that race.
See if you agree with this. I do. Dalton made a good point earlier today. He said, you know, I think of the two, Dobson is probably the one that's going to hustle more and give Republicans any kind of a chance. Brubaker showed kind of a lack of conviction in this campaign.
Well, they blew off Mobile. That's all, you know, that's pretty clear what happened. Dobson, back and forth. I saw her at events in Montgomery. I saw her at events in Mobile. Dick Brubaker didn't. I saw him maybe two, three times in Mobile the entire campaign. That's from the beginning to end. And I think that's what cost him in the end.
Yeah, I don't think it had much to do with those negative ads or any of that stuff. He made such an issue out of that. But I think it was not negative ads. It was Dobson shaking hands and making sense when she appeared.
And Dan, 7% turnout. And so every touch you get is a vote, potentially. And he did not do as many touches as she did. It's just obvious.
Yeah.
Wow. And you're in Montgomery today. I know you have a ton of legislators you'll be talking to. Both budgets have now left their initial homes. The general fund left the Senate and headed towards the House after the vote last week. And then yesterday, House gets the education budget done, and they maxed out the increase, 6.5% increase over this year's budget. So they're still spending big, and then also gambling headed to committee.
Yeah, so all our education woes are solved, right?
I think that's how that works, right? Just pour more money into it.
Just throw money at the problem. That's at least the way I've learned to go about it. I mean, we'll see. There were some targeted cuts in some places that weren't playing ball with, I think, the people of Alabama. But inflation, I don't know if you redid too much into that with the inflationary rate right now and how much more is being spent in government, because the value of the dollar just isn't what it used to be.
You're not going to be sitting around talking to yourself today. You have plenty of guests.
No, another jam-packed show. Warming up in the bullpen. We got House Majority Leader Scott Stadhag and Parker Moore. I haven't had him on since I was on WVNN. Arthur Orr on as well. Chad Robertson, Danny Garrett, and we'll wrap it up with Becky Garrettson in the 11 o'clock hour.
Yeah, I imagine we'll get more information from your show today, but as the gambling bills and lottery bill head towards committee, what's going to happen, do you know?
I don't know. I feel like they're going to try to squeeze some kind of Medicaid expansion into it. That may be the death knell, but we'll see. It's not dead yet, but it's on life support.
Wow. Who knew? But beginning of the session, it seemed like there was a lot of momentum for all this, and now in the end, it doesn't look like it's going anywhere. So,
and you're going to ask some folks about that online sales tax today, too?
Yeah, I think that'll be on the agenda today. Just don't lie to me about it.
Jeff, you never lie to us, man. And we'll be listening here beginning at 9:05, okay?
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Jeff Poor Show on the way. Caroline Dobson will be on with Sean on Midday Mobile today at 12:30. And Dan and I will be back for Mobile Mornings tomorrow morning at 6:00.